Hello, welcome to Black British Girl Talks Crime, Finance, etc., a podcast about crime, finance, and other things. Each week, I will bring you a true crime story or financial advice or just about life as a black girl in British society. Follow along for true crime stories, tips on budgeting or home ownership, and general insight into current events and black British life.
Hello, everyone. So today I want to talk about Maitrese Richardson, who was born April 30th, 1985 to Latisse Sutton and Michael Richardson in Covina, California. Michael and Latisse divorced when Maitrese was very young, and Latisse married Larry Sutton. Michael spent time in prison, so she was raised by her mother in Los Angeles in Covina, California, where Maitrese was a child, but as they got older, they got closer, her and her father. So fast forward to September 2009, and Maitrese is a psychology graduate from California State University in Fullerton. She just recently split from her girlfriend Tess of 2 years, but is said to be suffering with bipolar disorder. And the reason I say said to be is because no official diagnosis was made and she was not taking medication at the time. She was working as a clerk at a shipping company in Santa Fe Springs and began performing as a dancer on Friday nights at Deborah's, which was a lesbian nightclub in Long Beach. She lived in South LA with her great-grandmother, Mildred Hughes, 90 years old. So bipolar disorder is a mental health condition that causes extreme mood swings that include emotional highs, which are known as mania, and lows, which are depression. So when you feel depressed, you lose interest, you feel hopeless, and you lose pleasure in activities you used to find pleasurable. And during these highs, individuals who suffer from bipolar disorder can make impulsive decisions and behave abnormally, and can be happy and very energetic, which is but abnormally high, for example. So it's suggested that at this time, Maitrese was experiencing a psychotic episode because she was sending strange text messages and posting bizarre social media posts. So in one of her final Facebook posts, she wrote, "I just want to sleep, LOL, but you know me and my crazy ideas, let's see where they take me." She posted frequent things on MySpace at all hours, saying, "Have you ever woke up 7 a.m. crying on a Saturday? Because now that you see the light, you see all the people lost in the dark. Welcome to my reality." So Latisse became concerned. She tried to reach out to Maitrese multiple occasions, but she wouldn't answer her phone, and sending very strange texts back as well. So on the evening of September 16, 2009, Maitrese showed up alone for dinner at Jeffrey's, which is a restaurant on Pacific Coast Highway in Malibu, California. Soon after arriving, she was drawn to the chatter of a group of young people nearby, and she joined their table. And she was speaking in gibberish and made several bizarre statements that night. For example, the valet that parked her car got the impression that something was up with her because she was acting manic and talked about avenging the death of Michael Jackson. She made bizarre statements, for example, saying that she was from Mars. And the others at the table played along because she wasn't too threatening, and they weren't too worried about having their dinner disrupted. So she ordered a Kobe steak and an Ocean Breeze cocktail. It came to $89, but she couldn't pay for it, so she emptied her pockets to prove she had no money. And it's not clear why this was the case. So whether she refused to pay or couldn't pay because she didn't have her purse, which was in her car. And even if she left her purse, like, why couldn't she retrieve her purse from the car? But the restaurant asked if there's anyone who could pay for her meal, and Maitrese could only remember Mildred's, her great-grandmother's, number. And Mildred offered to pay over the phone, but the restaurant required a fax signature, and Mildred didn't have a fax machine. So the Lost Hills Sheriff Station's officer were called, and the manager said he was worried about her welfare, and he thought she would be safer in custody than out on her own. And the staffer told the dispatcher, "We have a guest here who's refusing to pay her bill. She sounds really crazy. She may be on drugs or something." And while the sheriff's deputies were en route, Maitrese told the hostess that she'd been watching a soap opera at work when God instructed her to take the afternoon off. The manager hoped that they would get in touch with Maitrese's family and help her get home safely. So at 9 p.m, three officers arrived, and they were under the impression that Maitrese was either drunk or on drugs. And the restaurant manager told the dispatcher she was acting a little euphoric, a little odd. And on their arrival, they breathalyzed her, and because a car search of her car, they found partially finished bottles of alcohol, and she passed the sobriety test. So they ended up arresting Maitrese on charge of defrauding an innkeeper and possession of marijuana, and they found less than an ounce in her car. And the manager chose to press charges, and she was taken to custody at 10 p.m. on charges of theft of services and possession of marijuana. So her mother, Latisse, called the Lost Hills Station and decided to collect her in the morning because The drive from Covina to Lost Hill Station is about 50 minutes. She had her younger daughter at home. And more importantly, the deputy on the phone assured Lettice that Maitreese would be safe at the station. And Lettice said, you know, I think the only way I'll come and get her tonight is if you guys are going to release her tonight. She's not from that area, and I would hate to wake up to a morning report, girl lost somewhere with her head chopped off. And the recording of these calls are on YouTube, I believe. So Maitreese tried to call Mildred four times following her arrest, as she knew her phone number by memory. But apparently, these calls were not recorded as being made because there was faulty recording equipment. So the police have said that she was overheard having a conversation, but Mildred insists her phone never rang. So for all we know, Maitreese was speaking to a dial tone or never made the phone call. Lettice waited until 5:35 the next morning to phone the station, and she reached the jailer, Sharon Cummings, who informed her that Maitreese was no longer there. And the officer stated that Maitreese declined and offered to stay in the lobby and said she was going to meet friends. So Los Angeles County Sheriff's deputies, they actually towed her car and then took her to the Malibu Lost Hill station. So when she was released at 12:38 a.m. or 12:15 a.m., she was released without money or phone and her car. So it was like she was expected to hike the 11 miles to the tow pound, which is on the Pacific Coast, or 40 miles home. And as obviously at this time, the closest open businesses are a mile away, and at this time they would be shut anyway. So a moment after talking to the jailer, Lettice called the station again and spoke to Kenneth Baumgardner. And she said, you know, how long before a missing persons report can be filed? Is it 24 or 48 hours? And he replied, well, it depends on the circumstances. I wouldn't recommend doing that one that soon. He didn't know about Maitreese's arrest or release, so Lettice filled him in. And he again responded when she inquired again about the time frame for filing a missing persons report that, you know, I guess probably 24 hours would be reasonable. I mean, if there would be some mitigating factors, you know, where you would suspect maybe something is not quite right. And Lettice began crying. She said, you know, she doesn't know the area. She'd never been in your area before. And he replied saying, you know, just wait. If she doesn't turn up, you can certainly call. And Lettice told him, you know, she believed her daughter to be highly depressed in a depressive state. And he tried to say, you know, why don't you just wait a couple of hours? Give us some time to make sure Maitreese isn't asleep in the lobby. Call us back in a couple of hours. If she hasn't shown up or made contact, then we can do something for you. So it sort of sounds like he's trying to fob her off. And I can't imagine being told that in response to your own child, not knowing where they are and knowing the state that she was in. So the sheriff's department waited 2 days after Maitreese's release to conduct its first search. And rather than deploy scent dogs from the station to determine whether she got on a ride or walked the 6 miles to Montenidu, or where she walked, searches started at the location last seen. So Bill Smith's house, which is about 6 miles west of the Lost Hill station, she was last seen outside of his house, and he spotted someone lying on the ground and described the person as an African-American woman. So that was the location last seen of Maitreese. And it appeared she'd been running because they found tracks from her sneakers, but they lost the pattern among prints fewer than 100 feet from Dark Creek, and the officers didn't hike into Dark Canyon to look for Maitreese. So they did search Maitreese's car, and which had been impounded, and they found a diary, and her last entries indicate that she had not slept for 5 nights. So she probably, this probably contributed to her manic behavior or delirium. And Saturday, September 19th, there were four deputies canvassing some of the neighbours in the area. Maitreese had been missing for 3 days at this point, and the police have virtually no information. And the search ended even before it got dark. So it was meant to begin on the 20th, but it never did. And Maitreese's family were becoming increasingly convinced that the police were just not interested in finding her. So the family took matters into their own hands. They made flyers, spending days passing them out, carrying out their own searches. And officers started to defend their actions as they came under criticism for releasing Maitreese. So Steve Whitmore, an LA County Sheriff's Department spokesman, said she was lucid, she didn't exhibit any mental problems, she passed a sobriety test. And then they tried to claim that the jail was too full to house Maitreese, but this was later proven to be untrue. Even a deputy present at the station denied ever being there, and he was seen on the surveillance video leaving the building 2 minutes after Maitreese. And this also contrasts to the reports that were received when they initially arrested Maitreese. The family tried to acquire the jail cell video from the night of the arrest, and Captain Martin told them it didn't exist. But on January 6, 2010, when Latisse Maitrice's aunt Lauren and two friends sat down with him and Sheriff Baca at the headquarters, he confessed there was indeed a video and it's in his desk drawer. So Michael called the mayor of Malibu, Andy Stern, to demand that more be done. So in January 2010, they did a massive search. 240 people, 60 of them on horseback, plus ATVs, bikes, dogs, and helicopters. And they scoured 18 square miles of ridges, canyons, and trails on horseback and on foot, aided by dogs. So a helicopter picked up searchers, dispatched them to hardest-reach areas. And by June 2010, there were 70 more alleged sightings of Latisse. Her father believed she was still alive, but her mother, Latisse, believed that the sightings were nonsense. So on August 9, 2010, rangers headed into Dark Canyon to check on a legal pot farm and stumbled upon Maitrice's remains, less than 8 miles from the Lost Hills Sheriff Station and within 2 miles of the location where she was last seen. And according to the coroner's report, Lost Hills deputy arrived at the scene by 1:30 p.m. and about 80 minutes after the rangers called in to say they found her. And there was still 6 hours of daylight and plenty of time for the coroner to get to Dark Canyon, take photos, collect evidence and bring the remains to the lab. And law enforcement should notify the coroner the moment it learns about human remains. But they didn't alert them until 2:58 p.m. So this is nearly 90 minutes after the deputy arrived and almost 3 hours after the Lost Hills station was informed about the body. So at 8 p.m, the police wrangled a helicopter and made a decision without the family's consent to airlift the remains and back to the Lost Hills Sheriff's Station. So this is despite a state code that says a body shall not be disturbed or moved from the position or place of death without permission of the coroner or the coroner's appointed deputy. So the coroner's team was on standby for nearly 4 hours and had exclusive access to remains for 6.5 hours, but they removed it without approval. And an LAPD detective with nearly 40 years on the force said, "Law enforcement's job is to protect the crime scene and you never move a body without permission." So interestingly, Sheriff Lee Baca was a bad cop. He was overseeing the department when Maitrice went missing, and after she was found dead, he's been found to lie to the FBI about inmate abuse, to corruption, celebrity favoritism. He claimed that all applicable laws, policies and procedures were followed regarding Maitrice's release, and actually now he became a prison inmate at the Federal Correctional Institution of La Tuna because he was serving an unrelated 3-year sentence for obstructing a federal investigation into his department's violent scandal-plagued jail system. So Latisse is haunted by guilt for not rushing to the Lost Hills station once she learned of Maitrice's arrest. And the job of removing the remains was done so badly that 6 months after the bulk of her remains were removed by the Sheriff's Department, they found fragments of Maitrice's ribs, finger and wrist at the site of the Malibu Canyon Ravine. So that suggests that the way that she was handled and the way that the case was being handled was really poorly. The fact that they didn't even collect all of the remains. And obviously due to this, authorities have not been able to determine a cause of death either. Maitrice's clothing was found slightly further up the ravine from the majority of her remains and did not show signs of having been removed by animals, suggesting either she removed them herself or someone else did. So for example, with hypothermia, it's a common symptom is people remove their clothes because they believe they're getting hot. That's been one theory that's been put out there. She suffered at the time from anxiety and depression. And Latisse said, "Maitrice is not a hiker. She's a city girl. She didn't wander into that canyon. She believed that someone took advantage of her, especially that she was suffering from mental illness. And she was probably killed and eventually dumped." Another theory that was put on Reddit is a twilight tour. So a twilight tour is an old-fashioned punishment. Well, to teach someone a lesson, police would drive the offender to the middle of nowhere, leave them and make them walk back to town. And it would be used instead of arresting someone. So like make a drunk driver walk back. My Favorite Murder covered the Saskatoon freezing deaths in episode 251, where at least 3 deaths of Indigenous Canadians in Saskatoon in the early 2000s were caused by these twilight tours. So the police service would arrest indigenous people, usually men who were drunk or disorderly, drive them to the outskirts of the city at night in the winter, where they would take their clothing, abandon them and leave them to walk home. So these were called starlight tours and date back to at least 1976. And as of 2020, no Saskatoon police officer has been convicted for having caused these freezing deaths. And the victims who died from the hypothermia in this case include Rodney Nystis, Lawrence Wegner, Neil Stonechild. And the first two I named died in 2000, and inquests in 2001 and 2002 stated they died due to hypothermia. Neil Stonechild's body was found on November 29th, 1990 in a field outside Saskatoon. The 2003 inquest couldn't determine the circumstances that led to his death. Darrell Knight was another person in January 2000 who was dropped off on the outskirts of Saskatoon, was able to call a taxi from nearby. The two officers involved were convicted of unlawful confinement in September 2001 and sentenced to 8 months in prison. In 2003, Police Chief Russell Sago admitted there was a possibility that the force had been dumping First Nations people outside the city for years, even abandoning an Indigenous woman on the outskirts in 1976. Back to Maitreza's case, her parents, who were not married to each other, as I said, filed separate wrongful death suits, and in 2011 were awarded $450,000 each by LA County. And in February 2016, California Attorney General Kamala Harris agreed to open an investigation into Maitreza's death after receiving a heartfelt letter from Michael, her father. Then, however, the office sent a letter back to Michael's explaining that they could find no evidence of wrongdoing in the handling of Maitreza's case by the police and they would be ending their inquiry. In late 2019, LA County Sheriff Alex Villanueva, a few weeks after promising to look at the case, again announced there would be no new investigation, and he reread the department's investigation, saw no reason to rehash a case already subjected to investigations by the State Attorney General's Office, the LA County District Attorney's Office, and the Sheriff's Department's internal review. If there are any updates to Maitreza's case, I will update you, but for now I'd like to quote the sources that I use, which was Reddit, lamag.com, dailynews.com, talkmurderwithme.com, themurdersquad.com, myfavoritemurder.com, Wikipedia, and latimes.com.
Get your fix every week by subscribing to Black British Girl Talks wherever you get your podcasts. Any pictures or further information concerning each episode will be on Instagram. Follow me on Instagram at Black British Girl Talks. And as always, if you have any questions, DM on Instagram. Until next time, goodbye.